Welcome, adventurers, both young and old. If you're looking to find a place where immortal witches, portal-jumping scientists, and adorable baby knights collide, then you're in the right place. A magical adventure unlike any you have experienced before, as World Talkers, an unofficial Evermore fancast, is about to begin.
Hey everyone, this is Chandler. I'm here with Skylar.
What's up? I'm Skylar.
And we have a very special guest on the show today. Please introduce yourself.
Hi everybody, my name is Mickey.
And Mickey, what do you do at Evermore?
I am a guest specialist. Ooh. So
what does that mean?
Well, they like to call us a part of the cast, you know, the same way that Disney has employees that are part of the cast, but they're not technically actors or characters, mm-hmm. so to speak. We help operate the park and make sure that the guests' experiences are exceptional as possible.
Okay, wonderful. Well, everyone, we are super excited to have Mickey here. We're just going to ask her a couple questions and see how this goes together. Let's go.
Ooh, hit that ground running. Yeah. Right? Yep.
So tell us, how long have you been working at Evermore?
I have been working at Evermore since, I want to say, August of last year. So before Lore opened is when I was hired.
How did you find out about it?
Well, I like to run in circles that I endearingly are nerd circles, right? I have so many talented, amazing friends in the writing community around in Utah, and they have some wonderful connections within Evermore and the creative community because there's so many heavy hitters when it comes to the acting fields within Utah and nationally that are involved. In Evermore's creation, as well as the writing community. So one of my friends had posted this on Facebook saying that there was a open audition for actors for this new concept park called Evermore. And oh my goodness, did that just sound like the most amazing thing that I've been waiting my whole life for, right? And I think that's probably how a lot of us felt when thinking, wait, what's going on? What is this place?
Yeah.
Wait, no. You know, it was this type of, this can't be that cool, really? And so I signed up and I auditioned and it was incredible. I'll just say that much. And I felt like I have to be a part of this.
Don't we all?
Right?
That is the honest truth.
You just, it's infectious. Then it's almost intoxicating. When you start talking to the creative minds and the powerhouses behind Evermore, you just have to be a part of it on some level, whether that's a guest or whether it's in operations or cooking food or sweeping up the floor or taking out the trash. It doesn't matter because it's such an incredible, ambitious project that it's an honor just to be there.
Well, I'm really curious. You said that it was infectious and an amazing opportunity to work with these people. How close are you with the whole team? Does your position kind of separate you from the creative staff, or are you kind of working with everyone as well?
Well, it's definitely been a evolutionary process when it comes to how different people within the park and different teams collaborate and work together. There are two different factions. Well, there's a lot of different factions, but for this discussion, there's production, which operates the actors and the costumes and the writing and the story and all those wonderful things that goes into production. And then you have operations, which is where I am. And that is what runs the park. That's where you do ticketing. We do retail. We do anything that helps get the customers through the door and enhance their experience as they experience the production side of it. But anyway, to get back to your question, I apologize.
No, you're fine. I think you're doing great.
Oh, well, thank you.
We're also fans of tangents.
Yeah. Oh, man, I am an expert tangent. So you just put your finger up and go, oh, Mickey, let's just stop right there.
It's okay.
But we've become increasingly integrated with production and production into operations. We were quite separate at the beginning of Evermore because it seemed natural. Mm-hmm. To be more independent. But as the park grew in experience, I think we found a lot more benefit to having production and operations work very closely. And I'm very excited to say that we're working quite closely this season. And I think you're going to see those changes throughout the park during Mythos.
I mean I even think that we've already seen it just leading up into it, just the communications going on the social media pages and on the website changes and everything like that. The pictures and the things that we've been seeing are really exciting. Or even at the Unicorn Festival when we went, they were talking about things and it got us excited and seemed like everyone was working a little bit more closely together.
Right. And I think it's easy to get really involved in your piece of the magic, right? Yeah. But the wonderful thing about Evermore is that there's so many wonderful moving parts. It's like this really cool clock going on behind the scenes that the more integrated we get, the more communication we have, the more we realize through guest participation and action and reviews and just our own experiences, how much more we can work together and how we can kind of become this one huge production and operations collaborative. And it's been a really cool experience to follow along that evolution.
That sounds really cool. I love hearing that you guys have taken kind of what the community and what you have all kind of learned throughout this process. As we've talked about before, this park is very much new in development and in construction and everything. And I like hearing that changes have already been made and that Mythos will kind of be the... Would you say that Mythos would be kind of the marriage of everything you've learned so far?
Oh, absolutely. And I think even more than you realize, this is, we take this feedback very, very seriously in operations, and I know production does as well, of what the guests are experiencing and how we see them interact and how we see them interact with operations and what we're doing, as well as what productions are doing. And we nightly adapt to that. It's not just a seasonal thing. It's all right, let's move this. Let's make this a little bit better. Let's try this out. And it's in that way, I feel like it's so unique because they're so responsive and so dedicated to providing the best experience.
I love that. Yeah. That's so cool to hear. You know, obviously you're not speaking officially for the park
and yes,
for everyone, but just hearing that's really awesome as a guest myself. That just makes me super more excited for Mythos and Evermore.
And I think it's easy to not see that.
Absolutely.
You leave the park and you go, I wonder how much what I'm telling them, what I'm experiencing is actually going to make a difference.
Right. What would you say, and kind of going off script here, what would you say is the best way for people to voice their opinions as we're kind of talking about that? How does Evermore handle that? And what would be the best way for people to reach out and say, hey, this is what I enjoyed, this is what I didn't? What would be the best way to communicate that?
Well, we have a really incredible team of people who respond to emails, especially. And so we prefer having those emails sent to info@evermore.com so that you can relate your experiences, your good and your bad, so we can take that critique as well. So email is especially helpful.
Yeah, and I've actually really liked that as well, because I've just responded. Like, anytime I have questions, I just email them. I just go to the website and you can scroll down to the bottom and it usually has that info or the information to go to that link. And then they respond like super fast.
Yes.
Like really, really fast.
Yeah, they're incredible. They really are. And obviously, if it's something inside the park that needs immediate attention, or there's something that you are particularly concerned about that needs immediate attention, you're always welcome to talk to one of the guest service representatives like myself or anybody at the ticket booth, and we'd be happy to help you with that.
Perfect. Well, speaking of kind of your job again, what would you say is the best part of your job?
Oh, man.
And that's a loaded question.
That's a really loaded question, because this is such a passion project for me that I think the best part of my job is just being able to experience the behind the scenes inner workings of what makes Evermore so magical, and watching it from the ground floor and watching it kind of be built. And it's very interesting. I kind of think of it like building a person. You know, like, it's so seeing the skeleton come together, and then behind the scenes watching the collaboration come together and start putting the meat on the bones and making it look beautiful, but knowing all those inner workings underneath that beautiful skin is what makes this project so incredible. And so to me, that's my favorite part of my job, is just getting to experience the things that aren't seen as easily from the guest perspective.
So jealous of you that you even get, that you even get to see that, right? Mm-hmm. Like that, I think that,
and
is
I just
something...
like I said, I'm only getting like a glimpse too, right. And even in my position, I know there's so the depth that goes on behind the scenes is just infinite,
right?
And so I'm only even seeing, I guess, so if we're talking about that person, you the guests are seeing this beautiful creature in front of you,
yeah,
and I get to see, you know, just under the skin, you know, right. The muscles, just, and I'm like, ooh, you know, that's and then it goes deeper from there. But I'm just incredibly grateful, and I enjoy that to no end.
Right, love that, definitely. So as far as kind of the best part, there's always the negative, right? What would you say are the biggest challenges of Evermore in your position? Or what do you face?
You know, and I feel very lucky in this position because I get to be a bit more of the face that guests come to when they need assistance. But I would say, hold on, I'm going to need a second on this.
Yeah, that's totally fine. And that's actually one reason why we wanted to interview you first, was because Mickey here is literally the first person that we see here in the park.
Yeah, quite frequently. Yeah, it's almost always Mickey that we see it right from the get-go at the gate.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank yeah. you.
And so it was, as we were thinking, okay, like, let's do this new format and everything. Let's do some interviews. We were like, who welcomes us into Evermore? Who is that the first person? Ah, Mickey.
Aw.
Yeah.
Like, no question there. Taking the listeners and everyone through kind of this interactive walkthrough of ours and our experience, you are the first person. So
I am incredibly flattered. Yeah. Thank you so much. Because, like I said, this is so passion driven for me that I get really excited just to be able to participate with the guests and with you guys, because it's so exciting for me, especially watching the new people who have never been here before. And I think this is leading into the answer to the question of what my biggest challenge is in my position, because I have such a passion for this that I really want to communicate this to the other guests who may be a bit more skeptical. Because you may have noticed some people come along with a friend who's very passionate, mm-hmm. and who's excited to come, but they can't even voice like what they're about to experience. You know, it's like, but just wait till you see it. You know, they always have this look on their face, like, whatever. You know, this is
probably easy to spot,
right? Like my geek friend, whatever. We're just gonna go do another Dungeons and Dragons thing. You know, like, but watching their face when they walk through that front gate, because you can't really see anything. It's interesting because we have these doors that are about 6 inches of wood lined with steel in the middle of them. And they look like those big barricade doors that you would go into, like when you're going into a castle, but you can't really see anything other than the thatched roofs of the buildings.
And you first trees. You first kind of go into town square where there isn't much.
No.
So from your perspective, you're like, what is this
thing? Right. And it's interesting seeing these people who aren't necessarily running in the communities of cosplay or of interactive immersive theater or any type of performance art, but they're opening themselves up to this opportunity, and they walk through the doors and they see the town square and they see what it's like to step through into this new world of Evermore. And you, like you said, say town square is unimpressive, but from my experience, it's like, people literally take this gasp, especially at night when the lights are all on. Yeah.
And let me clarify, they're definitely not unimpressive.
But it gets better.
Yeah, it gets better. As a town square, it's open space, right? Mm-hmm. So I suppose what I meant was that it's just open space. There's not much to see as far as a spectacle from the outside.
Yes.
There is so much inside that town square with the townsfolk and everything. Definitely impressive. But please continue. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so they walk into the town square and you are immediately hit with the ambiance of the music and the characters dancing around and this old time. It looks like you're walking into a fairy tale. And just to watch them go, oh my, wait, what is this? You know, wait, mm-hmm. what are we doing? This is amazing. And I love that piece. But I think the biggest challenge of my job is making sure that these people who may be a bit more skeptical have enough equipment with them mentally and who are equipped with what they need to be able to sincerely appreciate what Evermore is, because it is so different. It is so radical. It is so ambitious that I want to kind of upload them with what they need and equip them with an appreciation for what they are going to do. And so I feel like that's my biggest challenge, and because I have about 15 seconds with yes. everybody.
Yeah.
And so here's what you need to know. And this is, I don't know if I'm necessarily going to be doing this for Mythos. We'll see how it plays out, because like mm-hmm. I said, we're very adaptive.
Yes.
But during Lore and Aurora, when you would come up to the gate, I would really quick give you a rundown of what you're going to see, what you need to do, and who, where to go and who to talk to get into, you know, jump right into Evermore.
Well can we hear that? Like,
oh,
what
boy,
is
I might be a little bit out of practice.
No, just what would you recommend? And this kind of goes into our next question, is how do you explain mm-hmm. what Evermore is to people, to either newcomers or to your own friends?
That's a really good right. question. That's a very, very good question. What I would normally say at the gate, and I sometimes start going really fast because people want to go right in there and like, no, wait, you know, you really need to hear this real quick. But I usually say Evermore is an immersive theatrical experience. So it's like you're walking into an entirely new world where you're going to interact and encounter citizens of Evermore who have a history and relationship with each other. So you need to make sure that you're asking questions, introducing yourself as if they were real people in a real town who have real experiences. So be polite, ask them if they have anything for you that you could help them with, if they've heard any rumors that maybe could help you in understanding what is going on within the town of Evermore. So all the Evermore characters are wearing a gold coin around their necks and a glowing crystal, so you will easily be able to tell the difference between our Evermore citizens and our wonderful, enthusiastic guests who come dressed in costume. And to best engage in Evermore is to jump right in. You get out of Evermore what you put in. I don't usually go through this, but you get that's the normal spiel. But well, you get out what you put in for with Evermore. And so when those guests really take that short little blip of information that I give them and say, okay, I'm going to go to the tavern and I'm going to introduce myself to Sephtis. And I'm going to see if he has anything I can help him out with, because you know he does.
Yep.
And that really gets them running. But there are those who feel a little bit more reserved, and that's okay. It's okay to be more reserved and to watch, but really the main experiences within Evermore are story-based, and you are part of the story. Guests are big, big part of the story. And so embracing that and watching the guests who may be more hesitant and really embrace that and come out with pockets full of gold and missing some jewelry maybe has been super, super cool, because I'm usually there from the beginning, letting people in, and then I'm there as they leave.
Yeah.
So I see them going in, and I see what they do, and then I see them going out. And so, and I remember, people don't think I remember. I remember them. And so it's watching from their face and what they have experienced in the park has been really, really fun to be at that front gate.
As far as, do you attend Evermore with your family?
Yes, I do. Aurora, I wasn't able to attend as much, which was a little sad because I was working, but I was there anyway, so that was made me happy. but I do attend myself. I try to get there as a world walker as much as I can when I'm not working. But I have brought my family. I have four little kids, and my oldest is 9 and my youngest just turned 3. So that kind of gives you an idea of the range of ages, and every single one of them loves Evermore. And my experience while I'm coming with my family is a bit different than it would be when I'm coming by myself. When I come by myself, I do have a character that I use, and when I'm with my family, that's a little confusing. My kids don't quite know what to do with that. Yeah. So we don't do that. So, and but when I come with my family, I come in street clothes, or I usually like to come in costume, because where else? I mean, it's the wonderful opportunity. Where else are you going to use those clothes, right? But we usually hang around the fairies and Briggy and all those wonderful characters. Oh, the dragon trainers. How could I forget their interactions with the characters?
It's always so cute to see the dragon trainers and the little kids around them. We feel like jerks when we have to go up and do something, because we're like 25-year-old men who have to butt in with all these kids. And we're like, sorry. But just seeing the kids around them, the magic that comes with the dragons and everything, we love. I know Skylar has said that as a kid, he would be there as well with the dragon, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I think about that in regards to, I really want to bring like my niece and my nephew to Evermore. And I think that just would be a totally different experience in regards to what I'm going for, because I do go for like that deeper story. So I guess, what's your perspective on like your children? What are they getting out of it that we can, you know, bring our littler family members or younger siblings perhaps to see what?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I think that the experience is different when you come as an adult and you're really digging deep into those storylines, as it is when you bring the children. But that's, I think, one of the beauties of Evermore, is because it's so layered that you can come and just do those surface fun quests with the kids, but you're still getting little tidbits as an adult that you're kind of logging away like, oh, well, she said this. I have never asked that question before. Sometimes my kids ask these questions that I'm like, oh, yeah, no, tell me the answer to that. Well, you know what she said.
That's a really good question.
Yeah, let's do that. And I prep my kids before we go and say, you're allowed to talk to these people. It's okay to ask questions, because sometimes as a parent, you're saying, don't ask that question, that person, you know, that random person out in public. But in Evermore, it's okay to ask these questions of, well, why are you wearing that? Or what is that? Or, you know, these prodding questions that may not be quite as appropriate. Obviously, you know, help your children be polite. But watching the characters really pull my children into this world is super enjoyable for me, because I have some that are very outgoing, where I have others who are super reserved, but are still watching these dragons that, you know, Ina the dragon trainer, for example, is holding, like, this is real. You know, they walk into this and this is real. There's just a complete acceptance of this reality. And I remember during lore that the dragon trainer sent one of my kids out to go talk to the witch in the town square to get a potion to help the baby dragon feel better. And of course, I mean, I've never been on this quest, but I'm like, yeah, let's go. You know, and you had to go to the witch and help her create a spell to bring back to the dragon trainer to heal the baby dragon who wasn't feeling well. And at the end, they got a little dragon scale as a reward. And that was their most prized possession, even to this day, was this dragon scale that, you know, smell it and it's, you know, and it's potpourri. You know, it's, and it was amazing to watch him go into this. And every time when I go to work when I'm going to go world walk, my kids want to come with me. They want to be a part of this, and they start creating characters of their own. And I want to go as a dragon trainer. I want to go as this, and they start creating backstories that I would have never, in any other circumstance, encouraged them to do something like this. Obviously, I like it. And if they wanted to come up with something like that on their own, I would have. But this is a catalyst to that that is so unique that it's really rewarding as a parent to watch your child step out of their comfort zones, talk to people and engage in asking questions, using those constructive investigative skills, and then be rewarded from that, and then come out planning their next adventure. And that's an incredible experience. And it's takes me back, because when you world walk, you're kind of in that kid zone yourself, in a more sophisticated, mature fashion.
Very much so, yeah. Kind of that, that child innocence and belief, definitely.
Yeah, I still kind of get that way. Like, I get really giddy because I love to read books, and every time I love, like, Aragon or, like, the Way of Kings or The Wheel of Time, and I love dragons especially, as I think a lot of people do. And so every time I walk into Evermore, it's as if it's, you know, like Inkheart. I've gone into the book. Like, I'm here to experience this adventure, and I very much revert a little bit, you know, a little bit more childlike, and it gets me opening and talking with people, because I'm a weird, like, because I was always in books, I don't know how to interact with people super well. And so Evermore is really good at drawing that out for me. And I don't know how to translate to that to, like, my nieces and my nephews. So, like, what's the best way to help them get, like, involved with Evermore, get them if they're perhaps a little more reserved?
And I think there's not really a trick to it, because each child is so unique, but it's just bring them and let them experience it the way they want to experience it. Because I've noticed, for me personally, when I first world walk, I almost need one time just to acclimate. And so I'll go and I'll watch and I'll, and obviously I'm a big talker. So that's not, talking isn't a big problem for me, but I need to kind of wrap my mind around what this world is. And so I feel like children who are especially are reserved and more detail oriented, who like to watch, really benefit from watching others interact safely within these spaces, and that it's going to be okay. And then having them participate in group quests. So if you have a child or you see a child around the park who's a bit more adventurous in their questing and who's a bit more outspoken, get them involved with that. And that's what I love about Evermore is the guests. You walk in and, like, 99% of the time, the guests feel like you're all in this together. You have a really common goal. You can, and I know I heard Skylar say he kind of likes to ignore the other guests. Mm-hmm. You like to kind of go in silo. But a lot of people really benefit from grouping up. When I went to the FanX party, and this was after I had auditioned, but it was before I had an interview, but it was before I was officially hired to the FanX party. And I went by myself because I didn't have any friends who were really into this. And I was full on Victorian costume, like, you know, and there were people in street clothes. And I looked at this line that was wrapping around the barn, the building in front of Evermore. And I picked out a group of people who were in costume. And I went up to them and I said, I'm here alone. Is it okay if I kind of hang out with you guys? I'm still friends with those guys.
So good. Excellent.
But that's what's so cool about Evermore is that you find kind of your people. Mm. You find your tribe. And I think it's the same way for kids, helping them feel like this is safe. You found friends. These people are friends. The dragon trainers are friends. These are great people who can get you invited in that. So even if they're more reserved, just kind of help slowly acclimate them into that and know that this is a safe space.
Yeah, I really enjoy hearing that people do have different takes and ways of Evermore or doing Evermore, right? That one way is not the only way or the right way.
No, not at all.
I love that. So kind of going along that line, I mean, we've kind of already heard some, right? Maybe group up if you are nervous or reluctant. I think a lot of those things about the children, like you said, apply to us as adults as well. But what are some tips that you would say that people either need to do or really enhances the experience of Evermore? How do people enjoy the park more?
Well, I think we touched a little bit on it, that what you put into Evermore is what you get out. Mm-hmm. It's very immersive. If you would like... If we kind of have these two extremes I'm going to present. You have the people who want to come in and enjoy an atmosphere. They want to be a bit more of a passive participant, and that is totally fine. Like I said, I'm more passive when I first go in because I want to understand this more. But don't close yourself off if you're listening to a conversation that another guest is having with a character to be able to kind of note that in your mind and say, oh, well, I have a follow-up question for that they didn't ask. They walked away, but I want to know more about that. And then you have the people who just go right in. You know, they are full costume. You know, they're ready to adventure, and they're talking to everybody. and they want to get the most out of it. And that's wonderful too. And I think you really have to go with what your personality is comfortable with, but also just push that boundary just a little bit to make sure that you're getting the most out of it. You know, maybe if you're one of those going gung-ho, maybe pull it back. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
No, but in our most recent post on our Instagram, we do say, you know, sometimes you do have to allow others to go first. Yes. And be courteous to everyone. So I definitely think there is some merit to that, mm-hmm. to pulling back a little or to pushing a little further if you're a little bit more reluctant.
Yeah. And just being very, one of the things that is going to benefit you in Evermore is being very aware of your surroundings, whether that be the group of people behind you waiting. But what I like to tell people, I hate concepts of lines. I hate them.
Yes.
Like even at my wedding, I didn't have a line. Like I hate lines. And so when there's a group of people around a character, it's more of a conversation, unless they're obviously the characters giving you cues physically that this is confidential information and, you know, that I'm directing this to this one person.
Which happens, right?
Usually the character's pretty obvious with this, though.
Yeah.
We've had Sephtis or a couple others actually tell other guests behind us, hey, this is for this group alone because they completed this quest or something.
Yeah.
So it does happen, definitely.
But there needs to be a bit of a sense of community around this questing of, you don't necessarily need to be in a line behind a character waiting like you would at a Comic-Con waiting to take a picture with a character, right? But it's more of a conversation. So if somebody is having a conversation and the character is opening their body language up, and so more making a circle around that character so that more people can hear, that is very useful. And being able to interact with other guests in the park as co-questers is very useful. And maybe asking another person in the park, hey, I heard you just talking to them. What did they say? And keeping the conversations open instead of feeling like you have to be in a line and now it's your turn.
Yeah. And my mind went blank.
I know. I saw in your eyes you were like wanting to say something. So when that comes back, let me know.
Definitely. I like that. I think for me and my personality, I tend to kind of try not to overhear what other people are saying. We have had times where we ask people, oh, where did you get that collectible card? We want that as well. But I'm really reluctant to sometimes share information.
And that's okay.
I just think that's amazing to hear the other side to it.
Well, and I think when you get more experienced, you really want to have those personal interactions. Right. But especially when somebody is new to the park and trying to understand how to Evermore, as you know, we've discussed. Yeah. It's very beneficial to watch and to become a part of this questing group. And also, I've seen people split up, which is also, so if you're in a group, be like, you go get that from so-and-so. And, oh, I'm going to go talk to so-and-so. Let's meet back here and share information. That's also very helpful.
That's definitely something that our group does quite frequently. And I like sharing information. We've helped some people out. Typically, I just like to, if I overhear someone saying like, oh, I don't know where this character is. Like, I don't know where Jakul is, I'll be like, oh, you might want to check up by the mausoleum. And usually that's really fun, because for me, I appreciate when people do that more for me, because I want the journey of getting there. Because if someone's just like, oh, it's this person, you got to do this and this and this and this, I'm like, oh, well, I mean, there goes the quest. Like,
yeah, definitely, but be respectful of spoilers, right? Because this is a journey.
Want.
Yeah. So if you are giving information, I think that's a really good point.
Yeah.
Make sure you're not spoiling it for somebody. Point them in the right direction. But don't necessarily tell them the end result, because that's no fun.
That is no fun. Spoilers are never fun.
No.
No, never. And so as we kind of talk about, you know, these large groups and everything, we know that sometimes the weekends are packed with people, but oftentimes they're filled with great shows, right? The fire dancers during lore, the different things going on. And then there are the weekdays that have less people, but also less entertainment sometimes. In your opinion, which is best, or what do you go? When do you go to Evermore, or for why? And why?
I like, personally, this is a personal thing, I like to go when it's less crowded. Because again, I don't like crowds. This is my personality. I like to go when I feel like I can talk to whoever I want. And when I Evermore, I usually go after that first time of acclimating myself, just gathering information. I go with a specific purpose. So I want to talk to Jakul, for example. So my goal, I have like two goals. Figure out what's going on with Jakul and, you know, ask so-and-so about something else. And a lot of times, if you dig, those two things are going to really come together in ways that I remember coming home one time and being like, like mind explosion. It was so cool because I went in with a pretty trivial goal, but I wanted to dig deeper on this and came out with just this incredible, cool story. Yeah. And that was really fun. So for me, I like to be able to kind of pinpoint and track who I want to talk to and have that be available. But if you are wanting more of that experience, of the full experience of getting to have the environment completely alive and have all the characters there that will be there, and having everything that could be, you know, that whole Evermore experience. So if you had one day, definitely come on like a Saturday where you can see the shows and you can have that, and you're going to experience bigger crowds. But that's not necessarily bad either.
Right. Because as you said, you can ask people for help if you're lost or don't know where things are. It may not look like a huge park, but you can kind of get turned around and not know where a certain character is. So you can always, because of the weekend crowds, you can get some help there as well, like you said.
Exactly. And the energy behind the busier crowds is really cool too. It's interesting being in the park when there's nobody there and just helping out with what needs to be done in operations. And then when there's guests in there, it feels like two different places. It's really interesting because the magic of Evermore really is with the guests. It's the interaction between the citizens of Evermore and the World Walkers coming together that just make this tangible energy, this tangible magic that makes Evermore so fun to be around. And it's a beautiful park. You could be in there and be alone and just feel taken away by that. But once you get those two elements of the citizens and the World Walkers together, that's where it really becomes explosive. And so on Saturdays when there's a million World Walkers, it doesn't really matter. It just raises that energy up a bit. It just depends on whether you what you like. Do you like a bit more of a personal, lower energy, still atmosphere? And I don't know with Mythos how that's going to be on the weekdays. And I'm just coming off of prior experiences. Or do you really thrive off a bit more of a high energy, super interactive, lots of things to see? Like it's a lot of it's a very sensory experience.
Definitely.
And I think that for me goes along with I really liked what you were saying earlier, is like, you know, push your boundaries. Like if you, if you go really hard and like to talk one-on-one with people, like pull that back and sometimes try on those busier days. That's one of the things that I like to do, is because I do have difficulty approaching, especially like Cephtus one-on-one. He scares the crap out of me when I'm by myself. I'm like, okay.
He does to me too.
But when there's a large crowd like that, I can go, you know, a little more passive and, you know, just lean up against the bar in the tavern and overhear people's conversations. And it's kind of like a little roguish style type play where I'm like, oh yeah, I'm picking up other people's secrets that they don't think I'm knowing.
It's like, kind of like the Aragorn Strider in the hood in the corner, you know, and just seeing and listening. And I think you're spot on with that, because you can learn a lot by not talking.
So weekends versus like weekdays can change the way how you play or try to experience things at Evermore.
Definitely. So just some last questions. You said that you yourself, when you go into the park as a World Walker, you dress up, correct? You have this character. Why did you choose to go as a character, and kind of what was your motivation and your story, if you could share a little bit about that?
Well, I believe a lot of that came from watching how the characters interacted with people and having seen a little bit of behind the scenes of how the actors themselves really want to participate with people in the park. I wanted to get the full Evermore experience. And I really like this idea that Evermore is built on, of this very immersive theatrical experience. And I wanted to feel like I could be a part of this world without having any of my personal limitations, if that makes sense. I think everybody kind of brings a piece of themselves that may be holding them back, whether that be your, you know, social etiquette that you want. You will say, well, that's going to be rude. I can't do that. I don't want them to think bad about me, mm-hmm. you know, or I can't say that. Or I feel like if I can come in character, that's my character saying that, you know, or that's my character asking those a little bit prodding questions. Or my character can banter with them about this because she has some experience in blah, 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 blah. And watching the actors respond to that, it's really fun because it's almost kind of like an improv class almost, where you're going in there and they're fully in character and you're fully in character. And engaging in that way opens up a lot of realm of interaction that I feel like I couldn't get if I just came as Mickey. So for example, like my character, her name is Chantilly Picklebottom, and she is a matchmaker for the undead. And I made this character up in the parking lot going in because I need something fun. I want a name that characters are going to remember. Mm-hmm. So if I come back to them, they're going to be like, oh, that's Chantilly mm-hmm. Picklebottom, PhD, you know? And so,
nice.
Right. And so I wanted to be able to have that kind of stick in the actor's mind, that I wouldn't kind of blend into the crowd, so they could remember some prior information that they had given me. And like I said, I just made this on the whim. I didn't know too much about the story of lore. And I went in there and I started talking to this wonderful, charismatic gatekeeper, Riley, who I just love. He was one of my favorite characters. Very quick-witted, very, very fast-talking. And come to know, he happened to be in love with somebody who wasn't with us anymore.
Fits perfectly right? with your yep. character.
It yep. was incredible. And so he and I just started talking about it. And when I said, oh, that's such a coincidence, I happen to be a matchmaker for the undead, he said, oh, his face would light up and say, you have to help me then. You know all about this. And so every time I would pass him in parking costume, he would say, Chantilly, what have you found? You know, and he would talk to me about this. And so that was such a cool interaction for me that I think I'm always going to kind of treasure and remember, is because it really brought to life what you're able to do coming as a character, coming other than yourself into this new world where everybody's accepting. You can say the most radical thing. You know, during lore, we had Captain Jack Sparrow and everybody's like, oh, it's Captain Jack Sparrow. It's not a guy in a costume. That's who he is, and everybody accepts it, and it's okay. You could come as anything, and the characters just take that as fact, because who knows what's coming through a portal.
Yeah,
could be anybody. And watching how they interact with that and how that becomes part of the Evermore story, even if it's just between you and them, is super rewarding. And that's why I decided to do it, and why I keep coming as a character.
And that's so foreign to me. I personally don't go as a character, right? I go as myself. And that, I think, again, we keep hitting on this thing that there's not one right way of doing it. Everyone has their own personality, their own way of experiencing this park and of playing, right? I think it really comes down to playing make-believe for the couple hours that you're there, just like we were talking about with the children. And that is okay, yeah. Right? I naturally, as a person, I am able to ask questions. And so that's not something that I necessarily have to do. Not that I'm better or anyone's better than any other. I just really love hearing that about the character. Skylar, you have been kind of going as, or thinking about going as a character as well, correct?
Yeah, I am actually going to be going as that character to Mythos. I'm still not sure if I'm going to use my regular name or another name, but he's basically based off the character Kaladin from The Way of Kings, Stormlight Archive from Brandon Sanderson. And I really like him because he has, I feel that he has a similar you know, kind of style or emotionality that I do, but there's also other things that he excels in, which are areas of weakness that I want, like the ability to be able to talk to people, to have a little bit more confidence. And that, I think, does change it. Like, maybe I'll be able to talk to Sephtis because I'm able to suspend who I am and yeah. that I am Kaladin, right. or that I am, his name would be Edmar. And I don't know, it's just a really fun thought or idea to go along with that, to be a costume character or to play my own character in the park.
Right, and even if you didn't take the name of Edmar, just wearing, because I know you've spent some time creating and you as well, Mickey, you have this wonderful dress that you put on, correct? And just that alone, even, right? You can wear whatever you'd like. You can go as whomever you would like. And all of this is okay. I go as a world walker. You go in full character. And maybe Skylar, you might just put on different clothing and kind of in this time period. But everything is allowed, and as long as it's appropriate. And it's just great to see that all of that comes together in this amazing format, this new experience called Evermore. And I just... that's something so unique to it, I think, definitely.
Oh, absolutely. Like you said, there's no wrong way to do it.
Right.
Come in straight clothes, come in full costume, come half and half.
Right.
And that's okay too. There's a lot of people who come with just some face paint on or a cape, and they feel like, oh, is it going to be awkward that I'm not really in costume? You come as you are. You bring what to the table. Even if you want to start being a character halfway through, that's okay too. I think the most important thing to remember about Evermore is just to come and jump in with both feet, whatever that means. Doesn't mean, you know, whether that means pulling back a little bit and learning to observe a bit more rather than, you know, going with interrogating people, or whether that means just pushing your boundaries and bubble comfort zone just a little bit and opening yourself up. And I think just treating the Evermore citizens like you would anybody else. Hi, my name is Mickey. What's your name? Really opens up so much more. It's that simple. It's that simple. You know, shaking their hand off. We have a no touch policy, so don't hug. Don't do anything crazy. But just getting to know them and just introducing yourself and saying, "Is like, my name is Mickey. What's your name? What do you do here? Is there anything I can help you with?" That's it. And that, I think, just doing that much can really help make you feel a bit more comfortable in pushing those boundaries, because you can see it's okay. I started with this thing that I'm comfortable with, just introducing myself, and then seeing where it goes from there. Because then you have a bit of a commonality too. You can say, Sephtis sent me, and that character knows you're not introducing yourself to a total stranger. You've got a common friend, right? Who Sephtis sent me to come talk to you. Oh, okay. And that's your springboard.
So kind of as you talked about, we can't hug and touch,
right?
What are some of the other rules of Evermore Park that those coming in costume might need to be aware of, or just in regular clothes? Right? What are some of those rules and policies that you are there for the guest?
That's a good question. And it's a good thing to always remember, because nobody likes to be caught off guard with rules once you get to the front gate or anything like that. So no outside food or drink. We do have some, if you have medical reasons or, you know, tiny kids who need, you know, special types of food, we obviously can accommodate that. But as a general rule, no outside food and drink. We have some wonderful treats and food for you. And I think you guys are going to really love what's coming up in Mythos.
Yep.
We have been saving our money just for those foods. Oh, that food is so good.
I feel like I don't really get paid, because I just
it just goes right back.
It goes right back in because it's so good. And then no weapons that are not foam or plastic. So you can't have any real swords or any projectile weapons. If you need a walking stick or a cane, those are fine. But nothing that can, you know, hurt our characters or intimidate anybody or pose any harm. Because we have a really, really dedicated security team, and You don't want to talk to those guys.
Yeah.
You want everyone to be safe. Right.
Feel exactly. Good,
right? And kind of what, I mean, apart from that, is there really anything else that seems very general baseline? I know there's kind of a security check before and kind of a liability waiver that you need to sign as far as like the axe throwing. Is that correct?
So this, you know, a lot of what I cover, you will raid when you Go through security. They'll check your bags, make sure there's nothing harmful in there. So we don't allow knives or guns, even with a permit. So if you can still carry, and we don't allow that. But we do ask that you respect our actors. So there's no accosting our actors verbally or physically, because it can be easy to when you're taking yourself out of this kind of world and you're coming out of yourself, it can be tempting to do things that you might normally do elsewhere.
Right.
And so making sure that you're still being respectful to our characters is very much appreciated. And that's on that waiver. And no physical touching. Obviously, you stay on the paths and don't go in places that are clearly marked off for you not to go into, because we're always improving evermore. So when you go, you may encounter places that we are improving or we're building, and we don't want anybody to be harmed in those areas. And we have a lot of open fire pits, so make sure that you're being careful at the fire pits.
Yeah.
But it's easy to do. They're very wide. There's a lot of boundaries. Don't jump in them.
Standard stuff.
But these are the things that, you know, we will address at the gate to make sure that you understand. And we do have activities occasionally, like the archery and the axe throwing or the ice skating that we did in Aurora, that have inherent risks that you need to make sure that you obey the rules for that. And the live animals, which are awesome. Yes. Right.
It's so much fun.
And we have some amazing handlers that are just, not only are they knowledgeable, like you go to the bird or reptile show, but they're so fun to be around.
They know so much. It's really spectacular that it appears that Evermore has really captured some of the local talent here in Utah and gotten the best of the best. It appears that it's great to see.
Yeah, it's really, really fun to watch them and to learn from them and to just feed off of that passion, because Evermore, if there's anything I can say Evermore is, it's passionate and it's passion driven. Every single person who works there because they want to. You're not going to run into the people who are like, oh, I have to be here. You know, I don't know. I just work here. It's not. We all begging and wanting to get in the door of Evermore. Just let me be a part of this. So I feel really lucky to be a part of this team of such really passionate, capable people, and that really are dedicated to making sure the guest experience is as much as we can provide. So every single night when you walk through those doors, we're all doing our best to make sure that you're getting all that we have to offer.
I love that. Not just do you want greatness out inside of the park, but also outside. A lot of your guests are also coming from out of state and out of the country.
Out of the country, yeah.
Yeah, we have we've seen that, where people are coming from all around to kind of see this new place. What are some recommendations for activities in the area while not doing Evermore? Where to stay? What would you recommend people do kind of as they wait anxiously, like we all are right now?
You're not waiting at the gate, right? Well, we have a lot of really cool things in Utah. I think a lot of people, especially out of the country or even nationally, don't realize that Utah has some really fun things to offer. We have a hotel literally right across the street from Evermore. It's not affiliated with Evermore, but it's really fun. You can stay there and just walk right across the street to Evermore.
I think that was perfectly planned, whoever did that.
It was intentional. But we have Thanksgiving Point, which is in Lehigh, which is about 15 minutes away from Evermore. And they have a wonderful butterfly biosphere. They have a huge man-made waterfall, wonderful rambling gardens, a little farm you can go take the kids to during the day. They also have a really, really great children's museum. It's really innovative. It's new. So if you want somewhere to go during the day, I would say you could spend the whole day at Thanksgiving Point, and it's well worth the money, and then come to Evermore. We also have, if you're more of an outdoorsy person, we have a million canyons, you know, just within driving distance, just going up Provo Canyon, American Fork Canyon. We have a lot of reservoirs and creeks that are going to be opening. You can tube down Provo River, which is amazing and fun. In Heber, you've got the Heber Creeper, which is the train. You could go ride up there. But there's a lot about whether you want to do more indoorsy stuff when it comes to theater. So we have a really thriving theater community in Utah. And I think we glean a lot of that in Evermore.
Definitely. All that wonderful talent is coming straight from local sources.
Hale Center Theater in Orem is a little community theater, and they just built a really impressive new theater in South Jordan. So if you really enjoy theater, that's a wonderful one to go to. You can usually get tickets the same day. So whether you like to do that or see our Utah Symphony, go to Temple Square in downtown Salt Lake, all that's open to you. Or you can stay, go do Wild Jersey stuff.
This is a really long list. I'm learning stuff. I'm like, oh, yeah, no, I'm going to do that. I live here and I didn't know about
right,
this.
I was thinking that same thing. Like, oh, wow, Mickey came prepared. Yeah.
I just have to think of a lot of things to do, right. You know, with a family. And I know a lot of people like to do outdoors things so mm-hmm. they can go skiing and snowboarding. I don't know how long they stay open, but there's a lot of cool stuff to do around here. So when you're coming from out of country, don't just see Evermore, come see other things too during the day, but definitely spend your nights at Evermore.
There you go. And that's really the key, is make sure you're not too exhausted.
Yes.
Get some rest, get some food beforehand, and also in the park there, the just amazing.
Yeah, set aside some of your pocket change for the food in Evermore, because it's worth it. A lot of times you go into those theme or amusement parks or any type of activity, and you get kind of like, it's overpriced food that's not really good. But shout out to our front of house people. You know, we have some amazing food and some wonderful chefs, and they prepare everything from scratch. And we've got some really, really yummy food coming up for Mythos. So make sure, come hungry, bring some. And I know you've talked about this before. Get it while it's hot.
Yep.
Get it fast, because it goes really quickly. And that's amazing to see. That's really, I love just seeing that people are excited to try these new flavors, to try these new things at Evermore. I just really great energy throughout the park.
And it's not just regular Ren fare that you would get. It's really, I feel like it's sophisticated food.
Absolutely. I almost every time I go, I plan on getting like a meal or eating dinner there. And I've had like bell peppers stuffed with elk and bacon. I'm like, these are really good meals. These are stuff that I've never even thought of to like combine or enjoy. And they're always extremely good.
Or like the strawberry champagne cupcakes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. They were really good. I would be at the front gate and I would tell my coworker, get one of those for me before you know.
Hey, can you go sneak one for me?
Oh, no. See, we're all good about, you know, paying for it. There and yeah, because yeah. we want to support. And that's such a cool thing about Evermore. Nobody's trying to like get some off of the company. We just we are giving because we want to see this
right.
this project succeed. We're so excited that this super ambitious project. We want to be there supporting.
Kind of from the top down, it sounds like it's very much a passion project, mm-hmm. and that's throughout.
Everybody's getting their hands dirty, and there's no high ups that are going to be there today. I guarantee you right now, they're in there digging, you know, getting dirty. Doing stuff that needs to be done before the park's open. Everybody's hands on deck.
Passionate from the very top to the bottom, and even including that fan base. I know we get really passionate about that. How do you feel personally about the fan base of Evermore?
Personally, I love it. Love, 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 love the fan base of Evermore. I cannot say good enough things about and everybody, because those are the people who come, whether you're a new fan or an old fan, or somebody coming in and feeling like, well, am I going to fit in with these really established, you know, hardcore fannies? Do it. You know, we all love you. Come in, be a part of the group, be a part of the family. But Evermore, and the people I've spoken to, obviously I can't speak for everybody. I can speak for personally, and I could say the things that I've heard around Evermore are extremely positive about the very dedicated fan base of Evermore. People who come costume, people who don't come costume, but we see you regularly. It's kind of a bit of a caffeine boost for us when we see you guys, because it's like, yes, they're here. Yes, you know, we're gonna get real reactions. Because it's one thing to entertain somebody who comes for a night, and it's a totally different project to entertain somebody who comes four nights a week and be able to provide what you want and give you the experience that you want for every single time. And there are times that it's done better and times that it's not done as well, but every single person who comes multiple times is greatly appreciated, and we love, love seeing return customers. And we remember you. So yeah, like you feel like you're just a nameless person in the park. You're not. Like,
well,
we
will
you.
Keep coming back over and over again. We love it there. And that's really comforting to hear that not only are we remembered by staff and crew and whatnot, but that we are, our energy is just as much a part of Evermore as everything else. So just as we kind of wrap up here, some rapid fire questions for you.
No.
Are you ready? So first and foremost, do you have a favorite character?
Oh, I do have a favorite character. I think, like I said, it's Riley from Lore.
Riley from Lore.
He's like, got a little character crush on Riley.
We didn't see him during Aurora.
No, he did it. He went off with Harriet. Yep. So, but well, I know I'm going to get a new favorite character. Like I said, I wasn't able to world walk as much for Aurora.
That's
so
right.
I feel like I couldn't. I have some that I like, but I wasn't able to really connect. I feel like my favorite characters are always the ones that you can really connect with.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Are you into any fandoms? Books, movies, kind of what are you into?
Oh yeah. I'm really into K-dramas.
That is something I know nothing about.
It's really weird. I guess I shouldn't say it's really weird, but it's really obscure for the area. I love K-dramas, so most of the TV I watch is either in Korean or Japanese. I don't speak. You'd think after years and years of watching it, I can come up with, you know, Kamsahamnida, and,
you
know,
there you go.
But things like that. I'm a really hardcore Tolkien fan. So I love the Lord of the Rings, everything that they've done with that. Peter Jackson, I know a lot of people are on the, when it comes to the Tolkien fans, that you either love him or hate him. I love him. You know, we can forget Hobbit. We'll just forget. But Lord of the Rings was amazing. I really like Robert Jordan, but I'm going to admit I only got to book 6.
That's okay.
It's a long series.
Right,
it's
there's very that book, series. Right? It's book 5 that, yeah. You know, it's a little tough, but yep. I still love Robert Jordan. He was one of my very first as a teenager getting into more modern high fantasy that wasn't classic like Tolkien.
There you go. How about your farm and your goats? What's up with the goats that we see on your page?
I do. I raise goats. And that one, I'm comfortable saying is super random and weird. But I fell into this. My husband and I decided like 8 years ago that we wanted to get out of the city, get out of HOAs, and find a little piece of land that we could raise our kids and do more farm, like little hobby farming. And we looked all over and we found this place in the city. It's like this little grandfathered old house in the middle of all these new builds that has animal rights. And we were on a well and on a septic. It's super cool because you wouldn't think it's because everybody around us is new. And I traded a dog for a goat because I was fostering a dog. And she said, I need a dog to watch my goats. How about I trade a couple goats for you? And I said, okay. And I got into it and oh man, I love it. They're like dogs that you don't need to train. They're so fun. Like they just come right up to you and they're nuzzling you. Even my husband, who's not a huge animal person, loves the goats and they're just really, really fun. And so I show them and I do dairy and make cheeses and all that fun
That's
stuff.
So great. So wonderful.
That's what I'll be doing after this. Gotta go home and feed before I go to Evermore.
Perfect. Any mythos related tidbits or exclusive little hints that you can drop?
My lips have been zipped so tight. I will say, you know, my boss is like, yep. I'm sure she's going to listen to this interview being like, Mickey, mm-hmm. I'm going to say it. I can't give you any hints except for I will say that I think you guys are going to appreciate the story. A lot. There's been a lot of effort going into that because I know people have listened to you and we're taking as much as and improving it as much as they can. I think you're going to really enjoy the characters that are coming up. We've got new and old, and some of the new characters I'm really excited for you guys to meet when it comes to human characters and can I say other characters.
Ooh.
That are going to be introduced that are really, really cool. So have that and dragons, because of course dragons, right?
Right.
Dragons. I think that's all I need
dragons.
To say. Dragons.
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 Dragons. Well, perfect. Just to wrap up, one last question. Is there anything that you personally would like to spread awareness of or kind of your final comments here?
bathrooms are located behind Barter West and Barter East.
Thank you so much for that.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So there are bathrooms.
There are two. There's two bathrooms.
There's two, and I only thought there was one through lore. I only
you worked there. Oh my gosh!
I know.
Oh, that was so good.
It was so funny. So Barter East is usually less crowded because it's harder to see. That's why I always use the other one. But we will become having you guys go in the other entrance now.
Oh, okay.
So that west side entrance with the smaller parking lot when you go around the roundabout, that one we're going to have mainly for overflow. And we're going to have the main entrance on the back side on the east side with the big parking lot. So go to there. And then you'll probably be able to notice the bathroom a little bit easier from there. But what I say that just because that's the number one question I get. Because we don't want these big old like neon restroom signs, you know?
Yeah, here it needs to be authentic to the time period and area.
Right. And nobody wants to be taken out of an atmosphere like
with a glowing red. Glowing red sign that points to the bathrooms.
Right. And so when you go in, for those of you who don't know Barter West, Barter East, it's where you get your food. And so on the west side, I don't know if they're going to be doing sweet and savory with the bartering posts like they did last time, but maybe. But you'll see those bartering posts just on the back side. It'll be men and women's restrooms. But I guess I don't need to talk 10 minutes about it.
No, but just amazing piece.
Apparently it's needed. Like, I guess there's bathrooms.
There are. Don't worry. And they're really cool.
They are. And on those cold winter nights, they were heated perfectly. That was admittedly one of the best places to escape to when you needed some warmth.
The best was when they would cook the bacon and the bacon smell would overflow into the bathroom. And I remember coming out and being like, guys, the bathroom smells like bacon. It's amazing. And they were like, what? And I had some of my coworkers go. But
you have to go check out the bathroom.
It's legit, you met guys. But no, like my bathrooms, a weird thing about me. I love those bathrooms because they've got those cool like doors and those really custom made Riot Aryan things. It goes like when you close the bathroom door.
So great. Thank you. Thank you so much for your time, Mickey. Honestly, thank you on here. Skylar, any additional questions that have come up?
Nothing that I can think of right now. We're just really grateful to have you and to be a part of our podcast.
Well, thank you. I'm incredibly honored and flattered to be on here. So thank you guys. I appreciate your time.
Of course. Perfect. That's all we have for you today. Thank you so much for listening to us here at World Talkers, an unofficial Evermore fan cast. You can check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and everywhere else that you find your podcasts.
As always, thank you for listening, and also thanks to Evermore Park and everything that they do. Please check out their website at evermore.com and their social media on Instagram at Evermore Park and Evermore Creative Studios. They're always posting super fun and engaging things to interact with when you're outside of the park.
Please reach out to us if you have any comments, concerns, questions, Evermore experiences that we still want to hear. You can email us at worldtalkers.podcast@gmail.com or give us a call and leave a voicemail at 801-332-9321. And that's all we have for you. And we will see Mickey and you
beyond the portal.